I know now more fruit than I ever wanted to know. I love all these games that they're playing. And, you know, it's good to have a good time and to get away and to relax and to enjoy one another. But all I've got is the Word. And that's what I'm going to give you. So I need you to open your Bibles with me right now. We're going to be looking into 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to be looking at the Apostle Paul. I love the Apostle Paul so much. I love to read his readings because he's been through so much. Like I told you last night, I feel like the Allstate commercial. I know a thing or two because I've seen a thing or two. Well, it was nothing what I've seen compared to the Apostle Paul and what he lived through and what he still had joy in his life. And also the faithfulness that he had to the Lord and cultivating all of these important aspects in our life that we're supposed to take to learn to look more like Jesus. That's why we have the fruits of the Spirit, is to look more like Jesus. And that we pray, Lord, on a daily basis, I want to see more of you. And honestly, ladies, less of me. And I'm sure that's your prayer too. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this time where we can share and we can look into your word and be encouraged, Lord, that we can realize, Father, that this is a battle this side of heaven, Father. And Lord, I just pray you would bless this now as we dive into it, Father. I pray that each lady here, Father, would hear from you and that, Lord, the verse would leap off the page into her heart, what she's supposed to know this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, Paul has been under a lot of attacks, and you've been probably reading him, studying him, but we're going to be studying some of this because there are a list of consequences that Paul has suffered for the cause of Christ. And you have to realize that when you are a believer and you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you're trying to represent Jesus Christ here on earth, you have summoned the gates of hell against you. You now have the attention of the underworld, and there are darts, and there are fiery arrows that go out to take you down or to try to take you down. The closer you get to the Lord, the more fiery the attacks are going to be. The more you die to self and these fruits start bubbling up inside your spirit, the more you are going to see opposition. And there's going to be more and more things that you need to be wise about in walking with the Lord. My heart is broken for Nigeria. My heart is broken because in the last 3 years, they've killed 10 to 20,000 Christians. And ladies, the difference between those Christians in Nigeria and you sitting right here is just a different area. That if I was there or you were there and you were there with your family, you would be under attack and be killed because of your belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, as the days get later, we need to rise up more than we've ever rose up before. The call has gone out. He is summoning his army, and we are to be alive and to be awake and on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he goes out and he looks for people that will be loyal to him. And it says the eyes of the Lord go to and fro across the face of the earth, looking to see who he can bless, who is loyal to him. Because in the last days, people are going to be less and less loyal to the Lord, less and less interested in the word of God, and less worried about their neighbor going to hell. Well, aren't I Pentecostal? Anyway, don't know where that came from. But we need to learn to pray that we grow. And so let's read here chapter 11, verse 23. He says, are they ministers of Christ? I'm a minister of Christ too, Paul says. As one is a fool, I'm more than all of them. And labors abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons frequently, and deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Night and day I have been in the deep. In the journeys often, in the in perils in also. And I'm going to tell you what that means in the Hebrew. The word peril means danger. So let's look at that. It says here, I've been in the deep. I've been in the dangers and in journeys. I've been in danger in water. I've been in danger with robbers. I've been in danger with my own countrymen. I've been in danger of the Gentiles. I've been in danger in the city. Been in the danger in the wilderness, which is the desert. We talked about that last night with the scorpions and with all the dirt and all of the. I've been in danger in the sea, in danger among false brethren. You know, will God? I want to show up hands. Would God ever lead you into danger? Can I see yes? If you think that's yes, raise your hand. Most of you are right. Yes, he will lead you into danger, but he will never leave you nor forsake you in that danger. And if you're in God's will, you're safer than you would ever be in your own comfy living room, in your own bed, with all the people around you that you love. If you're in God's will, you're exactly where he wants you to be at any time, and you are indestructible until he calls you home. You will get through it, and my biggest fear is I'll be the survivor on the plane of none. I'll be just like, I lived, right? Bible says here, Paul is talking, he said, in weariness and in trial, in sleeplessness. How many of you slept last night? Well, aren't you special? Okay. Sleeplessness often, hunger, thirst, fastings, in the cold and in nakedness. Paul is saying all of the things he went through because he wants to give God glory. He is not going to go around and pretend that he is something that he's not. He's going to say, I've been through trial after trial. And you know, these things that he's listed here, dangers in the water, dangers in the desert, dangers, and all these different things he's naming, you could probably put it down a whole list of things you've been through too. You know, if you really had to sort it out and you started from the time you were 5 years old, dangers and maybe you were adopted, dangers and maybe you were sick as a child, dangers and then maybe a dad died, dangers, and then maybe you were a teenager and something went wrong. Dangers, and you could make your own list of things that you've suffered in your life. But girls, give God the glory through it, just like Paul did. Say, yeah, my life wasn't perfect, but God is perfect. The world is dying and the world is hurt. And they need to hear encouraging words about our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, it says here, in weariness and in toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings, in cold and nakedness, besides other things that came upon me daily, my deep concern, and the word translates to that anxiety for the other churches. Weariness often. You know, Paul was patient through it all. And you know, there was an old song, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. Through it all, I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, the Lord is refining you to look more like him. That's why the trials come. And he is making his reflection in you. And less of you is going to be showing Jesus. And when we finally have gotten as close as to the Lord as we can, and he's chiseled away, and we're going to talk about that a little bit, he takes us home. He loves you dearly. But our desire this side of heaven is to be like Jesus. Take the whole world and give me Jesus. You can have it all. Take it all. And then Paul says here, concerning the other things too, in the Bible it says, besides the things that come upon me daily, stuff comes upon all of us daily. Some of you are waiting for a diagnosis. Some of you have just suffered a death. I've talked to dear sisters since I've been here that are widows, and they're new widows. Do you know where they are? Here. Hearing about Jesus,
not home crying, not home. They caught on that no matter what happens in this life, they're going to go forward with the Lord Jesus. What is it this morning that could happen to your life that would cause you to throw in the towel and say, I'm done with it? Because the enemy will throw that at you. The enemy, he wants you to fail. But I have great news for you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Can I get an amen? Okay. So, it says here, Acts chapter 20, verse 24, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, that I may finish my race with, what did I say? Joy. And to the ministry to which I've received from the Lord Jesus Christ to testify of his grace. None of these things are going to move me that happens this side of heaven. We just have to come to that conclusion that that's not what we're going to do, is let something pull us away from the Lord. It's doubtless for me, chapter 12, verse 1, not profitable for me to boast, but I will come to boast. I will come, Lord. Verse 2, I know a man in Christ who was 14 years ago, whether in the body, I don't know, or whether out of the body, I don't know. But God knows, and one was caught up to the third heaven. Paul is going to start talking here about a vision he had. I've had one vision my entire life. I wish I could have been like Paul. He's had three or four, but I had one, and I knew it was from the Lord, and I know how what he's saying here. Once you don't know if you're in the body or out of body, or if you're dreaming, or if you're, well, it's just a strange thing. I don't have the time. That's another whole retreat, but how the Lord gave that to me, a vision, but Paul's going, I don't know. It happened to me 14 years ago. 14 years ago, God gave him a vision, and it was so magnificent, and it was so hard to articulate, he kept it to himself. Didn't write the book, I just had a huge vision, and I'm now going on tour. Okay? I'm going to make lots of money off this book because I'm going on tour. He waited 14 years before he could even share about the majesty and the wonder and how inadequate he felt to see what he said. Verse 3, he says, I know a man, whether in the body, I don't know, or out of the body, I don't know, but God knows. And he was caught up to paradise, and he heard inexpressible words, which is just not right for anyone to even talk about, is what he's saying here. God took Paul to heaven, let him look around, then he sent him back. Like an astronaut, right? They were up there in space, and they were seeing all these majestic, wonderful things, and then they splashed back down in San Diego, and they're in the water. That's what God did to Paul. He goes, Paul, you want to see some stuff, Paul? I'm sure that when he goes through a hard time, some of his buddies would get around him one day, and they'd say, Paul, now buckle up, buttercup. You've been through rough times, hard times, terrible times, but someday this is going to be over, and you'll be in heaven. And I can imagine Paul's reply saying, the reason I'm going through all of this is I have been to heaven. I have been there. I have seen him, inexpressible, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the funniest thing how we can have instant knowledge about anything. I had a great aunt, actually had three great aunts, and I never knew them. They passed away, but they were married to Jesus, and their name was Phoebe, Charity, and Amelia, okay? And they're married to Jesus. They were very pretty ladies. I have pictures of them, but this Aunt Phoebe, I was lurking up to find more information on her. How many of you in this room knows what guac is? No guac? You got guac? Okay, what's another word for guac? Not guacamole, but. Now I'm hungry. Okay, but anyway, it's a thing on your phone. You can ask it anything, it'll tell you anything. What'd you say? What did I say?
Guac. Anyway, I got it on my phone, I opened it up, and I spoke to it, and I said, tell me more about Phoebe Overholt that was born in Kansas. And it wrote me like a paragraph. You know, the Bible says, as the day is near, knowledge is going to increase. That's insane, ladies. And you know what? She was born on February 8th, 1881, and she died at 87. And my mom had to end up being the administrator of her estate because they had no one else, and they were old, and they were dying, and they'd served the Lord their whole heart. Well, one day, my mom got a phone call, and they said, Phoebe's going to die. Aunt Phoebe's getting ready to leave this earth. And if you want to come see her, better come now. And so my mom, me and my brother, we're just kids then, and she gathered us in the car, and she goes, we're going to go see Phoebe. She's dying. Yay. Okay? And so we get in the car, and we're going up to see Phoebe. And we walk in the door, and this lady, she's laying there, and she, like I said, I just learned she was 87 years old, and she was laying there, and she goes, come here, to my mom. And I'm standing there looking at this old lady, and my brother's standing by next to me, and we're kind of looking at each other, and she goes, I saw him, and her eyes were huge. And all she could say over and over again was, he's so beautiful. He's so beautiful. And I'm a little girl and I'm looking at her. And all of it, she just went on about, she goes, I can't say. He's just beautiful. Just like that. Girls, that's going to be us. Inexpressible words. Verse 5, of ones I will not yet boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except of all the things that have happened to me to give God glory. Want to boast about something? Tell how the Lord helped you overcome everything you've been through. Just like Paul did. I was in the deep, I was beaten, the robbers, and he's giving God the glory through the trial. All right? Let's give God the glory through the trial. I'm going through it. It's not the way I want it to go. But you know what? God's really good because he loves me. And this life is short. And give the world the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's offer them hope. And it says, for this I might desire to boast. But Paul's going, I'm not going to be a fool. I will speak of the truth. But I will refrain lest anyone thinks above me what he sees or hears from me. He goes, I'm going to be very careful what I say. Keep in mind, he waited 14 years to talk about his vision. Gosh, if I would have seriously gone to heaven, I mean, really? Seriously, you would have just been telling everybody, I went to heaven, do you know what, the streets are really gold. I really saw it, and there's this crystal glass, and I walked on that grass, and then do you know what, I looked over here, and there was Peter. Yeah, Peter was over here, and then I would just be going. It was so holy, so inexpressible. He hung on to it. He pondered it in his heart for 14 years. And who else pondered in her heart? Mary. How could you explain what was going to happen? She pondered it. She held it in her heart. And then Paul is looking at this trial, and he said, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of all my revelations and all my visions, and he'd had three of them, he said, a thorn in the flesh was given to me by the messenger Satan. The thorn in the flesh was given to me. The thorn. How many times of us have we had thorns in the flesh? And the word there, it says, was given to me, a buffet was given to me, means it was a hit. I was hit by something really hard. Something that was actually, it translates to life-altering. I've been hit by life-altering things. You have been hit by life-altering things. Job says here in Job chapter 2, verse 7, "So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with the painful boils from the sole of his feet to the foot of to the crown of his from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head." Satan went out to attack, but God will never waste any pain, and God knows exactly how much you can take. When my first husband passed away, my friend walked up to me and she said, "You're stronger than you think you are." She goes, "Or it wouldn't have happened to you." God's not a destroyer. He is refining us. And many times he's going to use the trials in our life to make us look more like him. He said he asked the Lord three times. He pleaded to take this away. The Bible doesn't say exactly what the thorn in the flesh was, but there was something wrong with him. I've heard sermons after commentaries. They think maybe it was he was half blind. He'd have to write large letters. I don't know what it was. When the Bible's silent, you're silent. All we know is it was something like a thorn that was sent to him, and he begged three times that it would go. And the Lord's like, "You're going to live with this because you've seen so much and I've blessed you so much." Let's lean in towards the things that don't go our way instead of away from them, and let us take it away from the Lord. Let's lean into the pain and say, "God, not my will, but yours be done." My husband, this second one, anyway, second husband, okay, just recently, a year or two years ago, he had a brain bleed. We're not going to be up here talking about ailments, but I'm going to tell you something. There was a voice. He had a brain bleed. They operated on him. They thought he got it. And then, 8 hours later, he was fighting for his life. So I have this husband that, and when he was, the first surgery went okay, he's in the hospital, and he goes, "Are you ready for this? I guess you don't have to wear a black t-shirt with a black widow on it." So funny, I forgot to laugh. Well, 8 hours later, they operated him again. And so he had two brain surgeries within 10 hours. Which is not a good thing. The doctor, after he brought him back in, the surgery was over, his head's all wrapped around, he said, "I don't know what you've got." He said, "I did the best I could." And there I looked at this man so sick. God knows your heart more than you do, ladies. See, I went through that, and I prayed, and I prayed. I even had a prayer meeting in front of Eisenhower Hospital down there in Palm Desert. We had 350 people show up in the parking lot to pray for Gerald to live. But you know, when my first husband died of cancer, something happened to me. And now that you're all my best friends, I'll tell you what it was. I didn't see a healing. I told you he died. I didn't get to see that. And I begged for that. And now here I am on husband number two. I'm just going, "God, kill me instead. I can't take." Well, you know what? The Lord healed that man. He's brighter than ever and just as cute as a bug. And he loves me so much. He's my plan A. He really is. But I want to tell you something that happened to me when it didn't happen and the healing didn't happen, or maybe your prayer didn't get answered. Deep down underneath Marilee, and no one knew except me, I was jaded. I didn't know I was jaded until somebody would come up and say, "Will you pray for me?" And I would pray. And I would pray this prayer, and they'd say, especially if they wanted prayer for cancer, I'd say, "Sure, I'll pray for you."
And I'd pray for this wonderful person. And as they're walking away, you know what my head did? My head said, they're going to die. Next person come up, want to pray for me? Grandma's got cancer. Okay, I'll pray. Walk away. Going to die. Because that's what I saw. That's what I went through. I was jaded. I didn't even know it. Isn't it a sad thing when you're jaded and you don't even know it? But I'm going to tell you something. God knows how to fix you. Because I watched a total healing. It was slow and it was a progress, but I watched the Lord totally heal Gerald Hagerman. And I watched his mind sharper now than ever before. And I didn't even know that was wrong with me. And there's some of you this morning that are here and you're jaded. Didn't go the way you thought it was going to go. The prayer didn't get answered. It hurt. And nobody knows that except you. We become that way when life hits us. And when we're buffeted, the Bible said it was sent from a hit from the enemy. But what does it say here in verse 9? Paul's pleading three times, take this disease, take this, whatever this thorn is, this life-altering problem, take it, take it, take it. And the Lord says to him this, my grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in your weakness. My strength is enough. My grace transfers to my favor in the Hebrew. My favor towards you is significant for you. My strength, my power for you is enough in the weakness that you have. Trust him. He loves you. Chuck Smith said, pain and suffering and grief are often the chisels that God uses to carve the image that he desires in you. These are tools by which our character is developed as God brings us to the end of ourselves finally, so that we will completely rely on him. He brings us to the end of ourselves. And through it, he teaches you patience. Paul pleaded three times. He was learning patience, one of the fruit of the Spirit. But God uses things in our lives, situations in our lives, to chisel away so we look more like Jesus. So we look more like him. And you know what? Instead of being so, Lord, please, please answer, answer. What do we say? We say, Lord, have your way in me. And that's an easy song to say, and it's an easy thing to do, and it's raise your hand until it's really happening to you, and it hurts. He waited for help, and he was in trouble. And Paul was giving this thorn. And we look at Joseph in the Bible. Could more things gone wrong for that poor guy? Hated by his family, dumped into a pit, sold as a slave. His wife is, hot to trot, and so she goes after him, Pharaoh's wife, and wants him. I mean, can you think of any? And then he's thrown into jail again, and all of these things happen. But what does it say in Genesis chapter 50, verse 26? But as for you, my family members, and the evil one that had come against me, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about, as it is today, that I could save many people. If I'm going to glory about it, it's only to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. That we let patience have its perfect will. The word in that is savalit, which means to bear and to suffer. to let it have its perfect. It's not wrong to pray it be removed. Paul prayed 3 times. That's Paul the apostle. But you know what? If it doesn't happen, love him anyway. If it doesn't get cured, love him anyway. In closing, I had something happen to me years ago when my children were young. And I had something go wrong terribly wrong with my skin. I had an overdose of cortisone in my skin, and I would rub it on all the time. And needless to say, by the time I would turn 35 years old, my skin turned into tissue. And like you could see by my veins, they couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. But I had a condition called the over-conditioning of cortisone, which is very, very dangerous. And so at night, my skin would be on fire like a sunburn. In the morning, I would peel off skin like a sunburn to be out in the sun, but yet it was winter and it was Idaho and it was cold outside. And I suffered until they finally figured it out. And I was in so much pain. And you know what? I didn't know what to do. People are praying for me. People are picking up my kids so they could go there to house because I was in the house sick and I didn't know what to do, and I'm praying. Desperate people do desperate things. And I didn't know what to do, but I knew I was in terrible pain. And so I shut all the windows in the bedroom. I locked the front door. I stripped naked. Well, that was a sight. But I'm desperate. And do you know what I did? I said, if this pleases you, if something up in heaven, there's something going on I don't understand, but this is what you want, then just give me the strength to go through it. If this is what you want, not my will, but yours be done. I wanted to be gone. I wanted to be like Paul. I wanted to take it. I wanted it to be gone. But if you don't, I sure love you anyway. I sure love you, God, for anything. Philippians, in closing, chapter 4, verse 11. Not that I speak in regard to what I have learned, but I have learned now to be content. I've learned now to be patient. I know how to be abased with nothing, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I have learned both to be full and happy and skipping. If it was up to me, I would never have a bad day, ever. My days would always be good. But I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't have any reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ at all if it wasn't for the trials. I've learned to be full, and I've learned to be hungry. I've learned to be abound, and I've learned to suffer. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's pray. Father, we're your girls. And Lord, as your Spirit's moving here right now, I know there's some in here that are jaded. And in fact, I want you, no one looking around, if you're jaded, I want to pray for you. Would you raise your hand up? All over the room, it's going up. We're going to pray. Wait a couple more minutes. Hands everywhere, keep them up because I'm going to pray over you. Heavenly Father, I pray for these girls right now, Lord, that it hurts. And Jesus, that you would heal that. That you would remind them, Father, you know their heart and how to love them. Father, that you would just massage their heart softly, Lord, that you love and adore them and you make no mistakes. And Father, as I was jaded and then you showed me you take home who you want, and you heal who you want. And my only responsibility was, blessed be your name, whatever works out. And Lord, we thank you that you work with our jadedness. We thank you that you work, Lord, with our incompetence, that we would look more like you. Chisel away at our lives. Father, have your way. If you heal, we love you. We adore you. And if you leave it in our lives for some reason, like you did Paul, we love you. We adore you. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, ladies.